hope. You know, I can talk to someone, or you can, for just a little bit and have them to talk about their hopes, and you can figure that person out pretty quick. You know, human beings talk about hope in the human and earthly way, what you have hopes for, and then you also can have those that go past that and have hopes on beyond, best to say, in eternal life. And the real secret is that as long as there's life, there's hope. And if you're a Christian, you know you have eternal life, so that means there's always hope. But now, how you can figure a person out pretty quick, you can ask some people, well, what is it that you hope for? Lord, I hope we don't get stuck. Lord, I hope we don't break down. Lord, I hope this bridge doesn't collapse. You know? And then you have someone that'll say, I just started a new business and I hope I don't make so much money I don't know what to do with it. You can tell a lot by people and their hopes, okay? Because hope is what you place in something unseen, and you can just tell a lot about one's personality. Now, as the word is used in God's word, naturally it means, in the Greek, it means elpis, it means trust, expectancy. That's what you expect, and sometimes that's what you get. Okay. And at the same time, in the Hebrew, I'm a stickler for going to the etymology. I want to know why it came to be called that. Okay. Well, the Greek prime is desire. You natural, and that's just as natural as it can be. You know, primes always make common sense. That's what they may be a little childish to some, and I'll explain in a moment about the Hebrew. But it actually gives you a better understanding of what it is, and desire is the very prime of any word used in trust in the Greek language, hope rather, in the Greek language. Now, in the Hebrew, a little bit different, a little more positive, I think, and I just love the etymology of it. And we'll be covering some in the Old Testament, and it is tikvah in the Hebrew tongue. But you know what it means? It means the same thing, expectancy, but it goes a little further. The etymology is put a rope on it. I mean literally, bind it. Tie that rascal, okay? Get a hold on it. And when you're hoping for something and you got a line on it, don't let it get away, okay? I mean, now that's strong. Do you see what I'm saying? That is strong hope. I mean, being an old cowboy, I understand that, because if you rope something, you ain't hoping it gets away. You got it, okay? You got them. Now, after you get them, then what to do with them can be a big problem, okay? It's according to how big they are. I've tied on to one or two in my lifetime. I kind of wished I hadn't caught. But speaking of, I'm talking about cattle. You all know that, okay? And you needed to know that, okay? But now change that etymology to your life. When you hope for something, put a line on it. Put a rope on it. Don't just hope for something aimlessly. Use common sense. And let me tell you something, if you hope strong enough, that's right neighbor to faith, and you're going to get it, okay? If it's for your benefit, there is an old song goes, faith is the keys to the kingdom, but love opens the door. Well, hope is connected right into these. It's your everyday hope. It's what you live for. It's your planning. It's your outlook. And I hope it's always positive, because you're a child of God. He owns everything. You should expect the best, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, if you want the worst, it'll come. If that's what you want, God will sure give it to you. If you're afraid you're going to get stuck, guess what? Probably you will, because that's what you're thinking about. And you know, the human mind is a strange thing. If you get into slick stuff and you feel something slip, usually a mind that's thinking that is going to put the pedal to the metal, and guess what? You're stuck. You know, you just buried your hole and fell into it. Well, don't dig a hole and crawl into it in your life. Rather, in hope, I mean, lasso that thing, you get a line on it, and I'm speaking literal from the etymology of the Hebrew hope, tikva. You tie it up and you hang on to it if it's really good and that's what you want. And God's going to help you if you have the faith. And remember, faith's the key to the kingdom. He's the king and this is all his dominion. But it's love that opens the door. Your love for him, letting him know that you appreciate him and that you love him. All right, let's see what the scriptures have to say about hope in light of this. And knowing that as long as there is hope, as long as there is life, there is hope. So be careful how you give up or anything like that. One place that tikvah is used in the Hebrew language here, manuscripts, is in the 37th chapter of Psalms. You're all familiar with that. That's where God said, Ezekiel, look out there, what do you see? And he said, I see a bunch of deadheads. I see a bunch of people that are spiritually deader than a hammer, and it was described as bones, okay? And how did God say to bring life back into those people? Prophesy to them, which means what? Teach to them. That's why teachers are so valuable. They carry a standard. They educate. And knowledge is what brings people out of the darkness and into the light, okay? So having said that, he also, within this, used this very word, tikvah, which is to say, put a rope on it, hang on, tie to it, and hang on. I don't want to mislead. It means to bind it to you, okay? That means let it be a part of you. And that way you want to always watch what you wish or hope for, because if you really prayed about it, you could get it if it's not going to harm you. God will never give those he loves something that'll hurt them, ultimately really trump them, you know. That's why you never want to go against his will, because sometimes you'll go ahead and disregard what he doesn't give to you, marry it anyway, and you're in trouble. Or something. I jest. You know, if your little child, 5 years old, wants a rattlesnake, oh Lord, give me a rattlesnake, you're probably going to object. Okay? And God's not going to give it to him in the first place. Enough said. Ezekiel chapter 37, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 9, and it reads, with the thought of getting a rope on it. But here, what we're doing to bring us up to speed, we're teaching a bunch of deadheads that know absolutely nothing, that are biblically illiterate concerning our Father's good word, and he's telling you how to give them life or make their lives amount to something. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. That's ruach in the Hebrew, spirit. Prophesy, son of man, that's teach. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And these are only spiritually dead. They're not physically dead. Now, if you're a student of God's word, you know from both Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 7, when you speak of the four winds, you're speaking of the very end. You know, hold up. And when those four winds blow, that will be the seventh trump when Christ returns, okay? Just passing that on, okay? And verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. That's the spirit. Common sense. And they lived. They could see what was happening to them. And stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army, God's children, okay? Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones or the whole house of Israel, the house that he scattered, both the house of Israel and the house of Judah. To document that, we're not going to go that far, but if you were to read the 16th verse, he joins them back together at the seventh trump, basically. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope, there is the word, tikvah, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. And when someone doesn't know what part God plays in your life, and all you have is the earthly, one paycheck to the next, one work day to the next, putting up with people, and that's all you got in life, then you're miserable indeed. But there's a lot more to it, and that is the hope beyond, the hope in knowing that our Father loves you, that he cares. And really, you're supposed to give hope to others, to help them to understand life, that you didn't just happen here. God has a plan, and it's just possible you have a part in it. Or are you one of those he can't use? That's possible. That's your choice. It's your ship. You sail it. Okay? And if someone has lost hope, they need help. That's they've lost everything. They can't look ahead. And that's a dangerous point in a person's life when they come to that place where they lose hope. It's a sad situation. Father does not wish anyone to be there, and that's why he sent people like Ezekiel. And that's why he sends teachers, is to give hope, to give knowledge, to give understanding. That's why he has people that can plant seeds of truth among people that are, when they lose hope, they're dead spiritually. And they need some help to come back and understand there's love in this world and God loves you. It's his world, and it's going to be all right. Everything's going to work out fine. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And you know what? You have a part in it. If you're going to be here forever, otherwise we're going to miss you anyway much. Do you think we'll worry about it? Uh-uh. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy, you teach, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. In other words, you're going to see the truth. And that spiritual death, lack of hope, is going to melt away from you. And you're going to enjoy life. You're going to be somebody. Do you know who? A child of God. One that serves God. One that amounts to something. So, when someone loses hope, they don't have that line tied onto anything. They don't even have a line. They're trying to exist within self. And I'm going to tell you something. You may be a very wise person, but you try to exist without God, from whom all strength flows, and you're headed for trouble sooner or later. You're going to be a very confused, mixed up individual. So always turn to the light. Have that hope. Have a high hope. God expects you to. He made many promises that he would take care of you, that he would give you what it is. Just, I mean, add it on to you. You help him, he'll add it on to you. You'll have it. But you got to do it his way, okay? Our Father gives life. He is not the father of the dead. Many people get confused when they see the word grave, okay? Most often it's translated hell, okay? Suad in the Hebrew tongue. And that's kind of sad because that confuses people, right? Have life, and that life you find in him. Verse 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit, what spirit is that? The Holy Spirit, in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Our Father wants you to have life. And you know something? He doesn't want you to just get by from paycheck to paycheck. He wants you to have a good quality of life. Whereby, you know why? You're an ambassador. You call yourself a Christian, don't you? Well, do you think non-Christians don't look at you and say, I want to see the happiness that Christianity brings? And not a good example, okay? Not a good example at all. You are an ambassador for Him. Think about that. Think about it. And the next time someone asks you, well, what do you hope? Well, I hope we don't get stuck. You know, well, say, my hope is eternal life, and we got it made. It's all good for us because we leave the bad stuff for the people going wrong. Okay, God smooths the rocks out of our road. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God will kick the rocks out of the road? You know, I had a question from somebody that had basically just started studying with us. And this old boy called the question in and said, Pastor Murray, would you give me that scripture where it says God will kick the rocks out of the road for us? And of course, I said, well, that's a little bit of colloquialism from this part of the country, but meaning He will take care of us. Proverbs 16. Let's turn there with me, won't you? Proverbs 16. When God promises you life, He means it. When God makes you a promise, He expects you to claim it. And He gives some promises here that would tell you that man can make plans, but the outcome is in God's hands. Okay? Do you want me to say that again? Man can make plans, but if you love the Father, the outcome is in His hands. Proverbs 16, verse 1, listen carefully. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. He inspires the word uttered if you are in Him. Every word uttered He inspires. He loves you. He directs you. You know, that's pretty powerful stuff. Verse 2. All the ways, that's paths, of a man are clean in his own eyes. I mean, we don't judge ourselves too close, you know. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. He watches it. And He fixes and He also strengthens that spirit. 3. Commit. This is important. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. They're going to prosper, is what this word means. You want your thoughts to prosper, your plans, your hopes? Then commit yourself to Him. Let Him know you love Him. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him to be in your life. This doesn't mean, I don't want you to become a religious fanatic. This doesn't mean you put a sign around you and say, I be a Christian. That's something else I've got to watch. I be. I guess you all, were you listening when what happened? This mother was homeschooling, and this boy was doing his English paper, and he said, I be something. And his mother said, that's bad English. He said, Pastor Murray says it all the time. So, you know, it's as a communicator, sometimes you have to be a little careful. But let your thoughts be established and they'll prosper if you bring Father into the equation. Verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself. Now this is very, very important. This is a thought, you've got to get this into your head. The Lord hath made all things for Himself. Do you know what? That includes you. Do you understand Ezekiel chapter 16:4, all souls belong to God? He created you for His pleasure, okay? You belong to Him, whether you like it or not, okay? Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. In other words, some of them went bad, but He still created them, okay? And He uses that evil to teach those that need a little chastisement every once in a while. Verse 5, everyone that is proud in heart, this means is kind of haughty, okay, is an abomination to the Lord. This is telling you how to get along with Him. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. You can depend on it. Do you know something? You could be hand in hand with a wicked person. If God loves you, He can punish that person. It's not going to hurt you. Why? God's not angry at you. He's not. Verse 6. But mercy and truth, iniquity is by, rather, mercy and truth. Iniquity, that's to say guilt, really would be translated better, guilt in this case, is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And again, as you know, fear is reverence. If you reverence and if you love Him, you can't help departing evil. Why? You don't want anything to do with it. Why? You know that it displeases Him. You know that it robs you of your blessings. I mean, just your blessings are flying out the window 90 miles an hour whenever you participate with something you know that you're not supposed to. All right? Verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you know that God can change the minds of other people? You can't. A lot of times you can't. I mean, they could be so stubborn you couldn't say anything to them. But if you're pleasing to God and you pray about it, Father, I can't help this. Will you please do something about it? Bang! Miracles happen. I've seen it, my friends, over and over. I've seen this happen. And it's a blessed thing to know that He walks with us, that He touches, that He changes, that He upholds, and that He makes good His word for those that love Him. He will make your enemies to be at peace even. They can't help it. You see, He owns them also, and He's in charge. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. You can never get ahead with ill-gotten gains. You know why? You've got a shoulder, two of them, and you're always going to be looking over them. Always. You're always going to be worried about what's behind you. And it will worry you into the sick house. And besides that, God's not going to let you keep it. Ill-gotten gains is something that Jesus told the old boy, you got to get rid of those before you can follow me. And he had a lot of them, and he didn't go. Okay, so the idea is, God knows what you have need of, and do you know that He has promised you, you do what I want you to, I know what you need, and I will add it all on to you. And do you know something? He never fails that. If you're working for Him, I guarantee you. Well, He didn't give it when I wanted it, but He didn't say He was going to do that. He said, I'm going to give it to you and add it on to you. He didn't say when. And I don't want you to take that as a defeatist attitude coming from me. It isn't. But He's got a time and a place for everything. And do you know something? If you love Him, you better trust Him to know that's when the best time is, because it always is. Okay? Verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And the Lord alters His plans. If God is using you and God loves you and He knows you love Him, if you head out the wrong way, it's better to do something than to do nothing, okay? You got to try something. Once you use your common sense, what God is promising here, He's going to kick the rocks out of the road, okay? Not the road, the rocks. He's going to change and alter your plans whereby it's going to be best for you in Him, but mostly for the children, His children, because He uses you. So being close with Him and knowing you are His, He's the nearest relative you have. Do not leave Him out of the equation of your life. He will take care of you. You know, I would think that anyone, that's what this ministry is built upon. Do you know that this little old church was down here in a roller rink with 120 people? And do you know that in 20 years it grew to be the largest independent church in the world? Largest by count of members. And all we did was teach His word. We never have to beg. Never have had to beg, refused to beg. But God always adds on to us what we need when we get ready to build something. But guess who has to do the building? We do. Okay, we got to do the work, but He does the providing. His word is true. His word is solid. And He keeps His word. All you have to try, if you've never tried Him out, do it. By all means, do it. Don't be foolish. Don't go down here and make a fool out of yourself and play circus at Spavinaw saying, "God, if you're real, part the waters." You know? You know what He's going to say to you? Idiot, stand there as long as you want to. That's not what I promised I would do. Okay. You got to do it His way. Okay. And that's the way He operates. Always using common sense. But always protecting. And we thank Him for that. We thank Him that He protects His own. Okay, we're going to go to the New Testament. Open your Bibles on over to the great book of Luke. Let's hit it about the 24th chapter. I want to show you, I want an example here of Christ has been crucified. He's been nailed to the cross. He's been placed in the tomb. And the disciples are kind of just, you know, He told them, He said, "Hey, 3 days, I'm going to meet you back. Where I told you it would. Be there." And they're just kind of, you know, I mean, He's been crucified and they're kind of running helter-skelter. Maybe a bad terminology, but nevertheless, they are. Two of them even said, we're going to go down here and get us some warm baths. And let's pick up, this is why you can't lose hope. This is why you must stay focused. God said it, you can believe it. It's His word. Okay, let's pick it up with Luke 24. Let's pick it up with verse 13, if we may, okay? "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus," which is to say warm baths, okay? "Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's 7.5 mile walk down there. So 14, "and they talked together of all these things which had happened." They crucified the Lord. Did you see when they come and got Him? 15, "and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." He joined on, but listen to this next verse, "but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." In other words, divine intervention kept them from recognizing Him. For what reason? Your benefit today. Don't take too much for granted. Keep your eyes open. Okay? 17, "and He said unto them," the words of Christ, "what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk?" I mean, you know, this was something to rejoice about. Christ had been crucified. Man now had salvation on repentance. And there are a couple of sad sacks. 18, "and the one of them whose name was Cleopas," that means of a renowned father, Cleopatra, coming from the Aramaic, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Where have you been? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? 19. And he said unto them, What things? That's what Jesus asked them. And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. I mean, he healed, he just did wonderful things. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And you see, they kind of forgot their mission. Don't you ever doubt God's word. You keep your hope right where it's supposed to be. You bind your rope to it and you hang on to it because it's going to happen as it is written. 21. But we trusted. Do you know what this word trusted is? Elpis. That's what it is. It means hope. We hope that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And it would happen now, right now. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Now that should have reminded them what he said would happen on the third day. But they're gawking along here from warm baths. It's been 3 days since he's gone, deader than a hammer. You know, they should have. Where was their minds? Don't fall into that trap. Okay, you have hope in the Word of God and believe it as it's written in what He says. 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. At least the women didn't give up. They rushed down there to see what was going on. And he was gone. 23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. He lives. Verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said. But him they saw not. There's doubt again. You see, they had been told that he was going to resurrect. They had been told that he would not be there and that he would meet them back at home in 3 days. And they just let it all slide. That's sad. That is real sad. What Christ walked this earth, he taught and taught and repeated. Emphasized. They forgot. Now I realize that God hid, he's withholding this from them for our benefit, for a lesson today. Okay? Verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but they saw not. 25, then he said unto them, O fools, this is kind of like old dullards, okay? How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You had Psalms 22 that told you exactly what was going to happen. Psalms 22 explaining my crucifixion. Psalms 23, your good shepherd will rise. You had all the scriptures, and here you're walking along in doubt. 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was promised he would. And for whose benefit? Ours. Your benefit. Have you ever sinned in your life? Did you need forgiveness? Well, that's what he paid for. And so that when you repent, you're clean. It's forgiven. It's over. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, it was all written. That's why you want to be familiar with it today. Do you know what? It's like reading tomorrow's newspaper. There's no surprises. And you know what's happening. And you can keep up. I wonder how many people, if we said, we're going to publish the newspapers for several years and you can have them, boy, you would have a hot item. But And I guess maybe that's why the Word of God is the number one seller. I don't know. I hope it still is. But I know we sure pass a lot of them off to people. But they would be more interested than they would in the Word of God. And the Word of God leaves nothing out. Turn on to the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Looking forward to the second advent, the return of Christ, where it states that even the creation groans for the return of Christ. Why? Because of pollution, because of people, because of times, because of things that happen in this earth today. You know, we have some pretty sad things taking place in this world today. We really do. And it's very difficult for young people. All I can say is it's too late to keep them protected from knowing what's going on, because to hide from them what's happening in the world would to put them unprepared. So you have to use your own judgment. Verse 24, concerning hope. Get a rope on it. Bind it to you. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 8. This is talking to God's elect. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Now let me tell you something. A lot of people pray, Lord, I'd like for you to show me what's going to happen. I want to tell you something. You want to be bound by hope? If the Lord shows you something exactly how it's going to happen, there's no such thing as faith in that again. It becomes a reality. And boy, you better not mess up then. I'm not saying that to frighten someone. I'm just saying be careful what you ask for. You might get it. And then you are bound. I mean, led, no getting away from it. You are bound to Him. And you're going to cut it. You're going to get it done. So hope is for that you have not seen. Do you know how much God loves people that believe in what He says, not having seen the Red Sea open? Not having seen Him heal people of leprosy? And yet you believe? That's hope. And that's valuable, okay? We are saved by hope. You believe. Verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You've got to have patience to know God's word is going to come to pass exactly as it is written. Likewise, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. God helps, you be one of God's elect, and you follow Him, and God will help your weaknesses. You ask Him. He promises it. This is the promise. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings, that's to say with sighs, which cannot be uttered. In other words, God's election, God is going to help you and move you. Why? Well, we'll find out here in a moment. But it's that hope that brings salvation, knowing that God, you don't know what to pray for necessarily, because even though you have read, you may not totally understand God's plan as to the page we're on right now. He does. And He may jockey your path just a little bit to correct things and to help your weakness, okay? Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for these saints, set aside ones, God's elect, those that love Him, according to the will of God, which is to say according to the purpose of God. He's got some people that need to be taught. He's got some people that have never heard the word. He's got an individual you need to drop a seed to. He's going to move you, and it's going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. As a matter of fact, you're looking at living proof of it. I know that he jockeys his election to do what it is he wishes done. Okay? According to his will. Well, does that make you special? No, just a servant of God. That's all. I mean, it's just being a Christian. That's part of being a Christian, is serving God. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. Volunteered, the called according to his purpose, not yours, not mine. His purpose. What? It is written. It's going to come to pass exactly as it is written. Do you know why? Because God uses his servants to see that it does. To see that it is taught. To see that it is put forth before the people. And to see that the people have an opportunity. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. This is from the first earth age. Eons. He also did predestinate. This is not free will. Predestination. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The son was the firstborn. That is Jesus Christ. And Christ uses those, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, that he chose before the katabol in the Greek, the overthrow of Satan. Why? They fought him. They stood with him. Verse 30, here it comes. This is the reason. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Do you know what that word means? He judged in the first earth age. That's why he can hanky with your life, and you can't on judgment day say, "Well, I would have, but you interfered in my life." Well, if you've already been judged, he can interfere in your life all he wants to, and all you can do is say, "Thank you, Father." Okay? That is for those that understand our Father's word and what is written. He will never ask you to do something that is not written. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He's going to see that what is needed is added on. 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, he's got the strength and he's got the power and he gives us power over all of our enemies. Why shouldn't we win? Why shouldn't we understand what's happening? Because he leads us, he directs us, and he pampers us. And you know something? He just about does. He really takes care of his own. Why? Well, when you look around the world, he doesn't have all that many to pamper because they don't seem to want to listen to him. You know, maybe one verse, and then that's all I got time for God is just one verse. I don't want to really study the Bible. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a lot of spirits out there, and not all of them are holy. You want to make sure you know which one's listening to you. Okay, or you're listening to, rather. 32. He that spared not his own son, he allowed him to be crucified, but delivered him up for us all. For what purpose? Us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things when you need them? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If you're serving him, if you repent, God is going to kick the rocks out of the path for you. That doesn't mean that you're going to develop into a hothouse lily. You know, Lord help hothouse lilies. You know, do you know what a hothouse lily is? That's a lily that's been raised in a hothouse, and you move it out of there and let the sun hit it, it'll kick its heels up. It can't stand nothing. Okay, that's good English. Okay, it can't handle anything. You let one little trouble come along and, hey, Lord have mercy, what am I doing now? Hey, get tough, okay? You can handle it. You know, like God likes to test you out every once in a while and see what you're made out of. Boy, I hope he likes what he sees, okay? Because some people just fall to pieces at the first little old obstacle. No, you're a child of God. Act like it. Take charge. Be something. Be somebody, even here today, because you're sure going to be somebody there. Okay, what time do we have here? Got time for me to do one more. Hebrews. I would like to go to 1 Corinthians 15, but I'm not going to. I'm going to spare you, because it would be almost a duplicate of that. And there is one thing that's important that you understand. Hebrews chapter 11, three verses and we're through. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. Now this is important. You don't have to play guessing games. You don't have to interpret. God's doing it for you. And I would advise you, don't mess with God. Faith is the substance. That's the confidence of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It is the proof. It is your deed. Okay? Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. They made it known. They passed it down through the years. It is written. Here's what is most important. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, see, there's something here that is really amiss. This word worlds is not cosmos in the Greek. It's eons. So we're not talking about creation here. We're talking about time. That's important. I said, we're not talking about cosmos, worlds, the world. We're talking about periods of time that God created, and it's important to you because you better know when your time is, okay? That the world, the time periods, eons, were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, the things necessary that can be seen. It's dispensational, okay? So you need to, you know, it is real sad when you see someone, you show them a footprint that's 50,000 years old. You show them a mammoth tooth that's 10,000 years old. You show them a carnivore tooth that's probably 100,000 years old. And it blows their Christian mind. Quite simply because, as a Christian, they haven't been taught. We are welcomed at almost every university in this nation. We've been welcomed to everyone we've ever asked to do a documentary with them and for them. And I'm happy to say that Shepherd's Chapel's documentary concerning the University of Arizona, because their museum is marble, that it is shown to the handicapped people that can't go upstairs there for what is up there. So it is a privilege and a pleasure to be able to work with universities. And many times when we're on a dig, college students will come over and say, "Who are y'all with, Shepherd's Chapel? You're Christians? What are you doing here?" You know, because of Bible thumpers. This earth is 6,000 years old. The Bible says it. Where? You know, that's an archy way of saying, where? Where is that written? It ain't. Okay. It's not written. As a matter of fact, it states, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, period. And then it says, in other words, it became void and without form. God doesn't create anything void. He has a purpose for it. It's when Satan rebelled that it became void. That was millions of years ago when he created this earth. But anyway, it's amazing to see those college students when we tell them, well, we're here because it's here. It's real. And this is a real world. And our Father is real. And we want to know the truth. That's why we're here. Oh, well, that's wonderful. We'll help you. And they really go all out. And you know, then they begin to ask questions. And you just drop a little here and a little there, and pretty soon sometimes you really can wake some people up with truth, facts, okay? Because we live in a real world. Get your rope on it. Tikva in the Hebrew tongue. To hope. It means to do more than just say, I wish I had a trainload of watermelons. And one old boy said, well, if you had a trainload of watermelons, would you give me one? And the other one says, if you're too lazy to wish for your own watermelons, you'd do it without. I really don't know for sure what that has to do with this. But make your hopes and your wishes as a child of God should, because God's your Father and He means business. He's not playing games, and it's a real world. So let Him know you love Him. Once you do that, I guarantee you He'll return that love, and you'll be all the better for it. Hope. What you haven't seen. If the Bible says it, it's real. It exists. Believe on Him. Get your rope on it. Get a line on it. And don't let go. Don't let time or anything else, as it did the two that had been down taking a warm bath, just slip away. No, it's real. It's going to happen the way it's written. Father, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. Father, be with us this day. Let all these be a blessing to whom they come in contact with. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Your blessings come from God, not some man. Writing some man is not going to bless you at all. It might bless him if you put a little dollar in it or something. He'll probably be very happy. And I'm not criticizing preachers either, but God does the blessing. You do not have to go through man. You talk to Him. When Christ died on the cross, He rent the veil from top to bottom, getting rid of preachers. By that I mean, you don't need a preacher to go into the Holy of Holies. And that's where your blessings flow from. Talk to Him. Let Him know you love Him. And you don't have to pat some preacher to get a blessing. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, you can get short-circuited by one that writes letters saying, if you'll write me and send me a little fee here, I'll give you a blessing. He doesn't have any blessings to give. He's a rip-off artist, okay? Just winning friends, influencing people here, okay? That's what it is in most cases. You might actually have some church that's really in dire needs. But always remember this. God never, never, never sends out a beggar. If you got a beggar writing you letters, God didn't send him. And I guarantee you, you're not going to get a blessing. You're going to get ripped. Yvette from Ohio. I have sent questions before and not heard them answered. Well, you got lucky this time, okay? So I hope to hear a reply to the following. I have just completed reading the wonderful book of Daniel. Well, congratulations. My question is regarding chapter 12, verse 2. It reads, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." Please explain, since I've understood you to teach that we are not dead in the grave. That's absolutely correct. You know what? Verse 1, Michael, the angel of Israel, speaks and sounds. And these people are not dead. They've followed Satan, who crawled on his belly in the dust. So they're down there with him in the dust. They're part of those five woes we read of today. What does it mean? They're spiritually deader than a hammer. And you know what? Come the millennium, which is what's just about to happen, they're going to get a sad awakening. And we're either going to, through the millennium is going to be the boot camp of boot camps. Now, that some people, well, that's sacrilegious. No, it isn't. The thing that is lacking in churches today is discipline. You've got so many sugar-coated sweetie pies that try to waltz people into church. That won't bring people to church. You got to feed them the truth, the word, that brings them blessings and corrects them when they're doing wrong and gives them God's blessings, okay? I hope that helped. They're spiritually dead. That's what it's talking about. Hey, I'm out of time. You know what? I love you all a whole lot for a real special reason. That's that you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. What's most important, God loves you for it. He really does. It's the letter He has written you, saving you from deception and from the very clutches of the devil, okay? Whereby you don't have to go through with that. So when you study that word, it blesses Him, and He loves it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, most important, hey, you do this. You stay in His word every day in it. It's a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.